You know, we touched on mental health, talking with Kauai's mayor. Now HPR's Noe Tanigawa joins us live to dive deeper into this undercurrent in our community. Good morning, Noe.
Hey, good morning, Catherine, and thanks for that interview with Mayor Kawakami. I noticed Kauai people are feeling pretty good about their mayor these days.
I did not know that they only had two standalone bars there on that island.
There's a lot to learn about that great island.
I'm yes.
so proud of them. And, you know, the mental health situation, I'm sure they're preparing for it there on Kauai. They've been so good about anticipating problems. And we've been hearing about this here, at least since February. The state homeless director, Scott Morishige, mentioned that they are preparing for mental and behavioral health challenges. They're trying to beef up the services community. And in May, the World Health Organization drew attention to it as well. Today, there was an article in The Atlantic, right, about the particular challenges that millennials might be facing with perhaps depression or, you know, just turbulent times in their lives.
Yeah, that was so interesting. That was really interesting. The millennials, oh.
I know they've been through a lot. I mean, the oldest ones of them, I mean, were born after 9/11. They, you know, they had were through two wars, Iraq and Afghanistan. They were kind of graduating into the last recession that we had. And now look, so there's a lot out there. And Greg Payton, CEO of Mental Health Kokua, was telling me that people may not notice that increased stressors are all around and affecting them.
If there's a family member experiencing what appears to be a mental health issue, and this is kind of new because it's just surfacing during this time, it may be just that they're under a lot of stress. It could mean something more serious. Oftentimes people do feel, what am I supposed to do for my kids, for my parents? You call that the sandwich generation, where you're kind of, you have your parents on one end that you're trying to take care of and your kids on the other. What am I supposed to do? Think of now with return to work. How dense is the office going to be? How many people are going to be there? Am I going to have to wear a mask? Is there going to be hand sanitizers there? That's the new normal, is that level of worry about just day-to-day operations.
Payton recommends NAMI Hawaii, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. He said that's a great place to look for some help, and they've got a pretty good web page. He recommends also Aloha United Way. You can just call them on the phone, the 211 helpline. I did check that out, and they are definitely there. I mean, Catherine, I remember you interviewed a New York doctor, he was maybe interning in New York.
And yes.
He talked about how unexpectedly he did actually feel the need to call someone.
Yeah, everybody's stressed out. Everybody is.
Mm-hmm. And people are just realizing now that this COVID-19 situation is long-term. So, you know, some issues really do have to get dealt with, like the stress. You know, with this new normal that we've got here, I mean, how are you coping, Catherine?
Oh, I swim every day. That's
really?
The way I de-stress, yeah.
You get out into the ocean, and yeah, I know. You
Have to.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's really finding ways to build those kinds of outlets into their, you know, into their daily lives. And some people are trying meditation, it turns out. You know, a few years ago, Forbes Business Magazine published an article about scientifically proven benefits of meditation. They put it out in 2016. And what they charted was improved cognition, as you'd kind of expect. I mean, that you have heard that before, but also things like, they concluded meditation reduces implicit age and race bias. I mean, it has these corollary effects that we didn't expect. And that's kind of what Jimmy Toyama is all about. He's, you know, a member of the community, former state worker. He says the corollary benefits of meditation and mindfulness are really important. He's the founder of Mindful Hawaii, and they've got, you know, a growing list of now 800 on their email list.
Mindfulness is not just about personal benefits. It's about transforming society. Whatever form of practice people take up is to move it wider and deeper into our community on the assumption that when more and more people get involved with mindfulness practices, it will shift the foundation of our culture. It sets a nice foundation for transformation, if you will. People are finding that as an easy way to better themselves, their health, their well-being. But more importantly, from my perspective, is that when more and more people get involved in these mindfulness practices, they become more attuned to other people. You know, they develop this capacity for becoming more empathetic. And then out of that comes this compassion or love, if you will. The real transformation will take place when we ourselves get in touch with our deeper self.
I mean, imagine that, getting in touch with our deeper selves. I mean, I don't know how many bucket lists that's on, but it could be something that we could do. And what the case he's making is that it's actually good for society for us to have that goal. I mean, have you ever tried meditation, Catherine?
Yes, and just recently picked it up again through a hula class. And so it was just really interesting to, you know, to focus on your breathing, you know, just calm yourself down.
But how did it come up in a hula class?
One of the Halal members, you know, really got into hula and offered it on the back end of a hula class, like, oh, you know, let's try this. And it was very, yeah, very, very mindful, you know, it worked in Hawaiian values. So very, very beneficial.
Oh, and so what did you do? You sat cross-legged, or, I mean, I don't know.
We just sat on our chairs, and he hit a gong, and we focused on a spot on the floor, and it was just fascinating to hear just the experiences of people. You know, I just envisioned myself being up in the air with the astronauts, kind of looking down, you know, on Earth, and just calming myself down. So it really just takes you out of your place into a different space.
Oh, that is just cool, you know, that imagery you had, Catherine, because, you know, that's the way some people do it. There are guided meditations, they call it, where they kind of talk about imagery that you can pass through your mind. I mean, it's interesting. The Mindful Hawaii website is out there, and they're listing all types of various mindfulness practitioners. I mean, everything from forest bathing, you know,
yes,
to weekend retreats and transcendental meditation. There's a branch here as well. You know, people are really trying this stuff. And there are, you can also watch maybe a life hack video about how to meditate on YouTube. I mean, if that's the way that's going to get you started, you know. But your neighbor there, Greg Pye,
yes,
hosts an online meditation group. I believe it's now online out of the Palolu Zen Temple.
Oh, interesting.
So there are lots of apps out there, too.
So if people are interested, there are a lot of resources to get started on this.
Exactly. You know, Calm is one that's a kind of an interesting app. You know, over 50 million downloads out there. They say you'll be able to sleep better, less stress. There's a lot of guidance on that app. It costs about $70 a year. But there's also a free meditation app. It's called Smiling Mind. It was developed by psychologists and educators. It's free. I have not checked that out. Maybe you might want to. But the main thing Toyama did say was you got to do it. You can't just read about it.
Yeah, try it. You might like it. It might calm you down.
Well, that's just so neat that you tied it in with a hula class.
Yeah, it was a wonderful experience and certainly helps during this very stressful time. But thank you so much, Noe.
Thank you, Catherine. Happy Aloha Friday.
Aloha Friday, yes. That was HPR's Noe Tanigawa talking about taking care of our mental health during these stressful times.